Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3. The game. Happy Wednesday, Nashville. Jared out for the rest of the week. Jake Lyman with you, along with Connor Newt. Be just us for today's show. Going to be a little bit weird. The rest of the week, Derek Mason will be joining us from 3 to 6. But today, just me and Connor. No Parker Kelly, no anybody. It's just me and Connor.
We're the only two here.
So it's the last week before training camp. Jared's got to get all charged up for football season, where he's not going to miss a whole lot of shows once we get rolling. So it'll be fun. We got SEC Media Day coverage. Great job by Chase and Big Joe all week long down there in Atlanta. Great interviews. We'll talk a little bit about the teams that were down there today. I have a little rant to go on about some of the things we heard yesterday. We'll do that in the 4 o'clock hour. We're going to talk a good amount of Titans today, starting with the story that I don't think is being talked about enough with all of these second round picks that are left unsigned, including Femi Oladejo for the Titans. We'll talk about that coming up in the next segment. But Connor, I just wanted to start with the All-Star game last night.
Sure. Talk about that while I do some double duty here.
Yeah, Connor's doing, he's producing and my co-host today. So he's there'll be times where I have to rant to give you some time back there. But the MLB All-Star game last night, a lot of changes were involved in the format and some of the coverage. I think the big one that everyone's talking about is the swing-off at the end, which I thought was great. I've been an advocate for the last couple of years of the NFL going to a field goal kickoff if you get to the end of overtime and it's tied, and just have the kickers go back and forth and see who misses first. You start at 30, you go back to 35, and so on and so forth.
Bingo.
I don't know if they'll ever do that, but for an all-star game, for an exhibition like that, I thought it was cool. You don't want to waste any more pitching. You don't want to risk anybody else getting injured. Let the guys go swing for the fences and find out a winner.
It was fun. I was hoping the one Rays guy, who they have like 10 of them I've never heard of in my life before.
Yeah. But
the one guy at the end.
Jonathan Aranda.
I was hoping he was going to get one over so we could see Pete Alonso go walk it off.
Get little bit more drama. Kyle Schwarber. I didn't love that Schwarber was named the MVP just for hitting those three batting practice home runs.
Should have been Alonso.
It probably should have been Pete, but you know, again, it's the All-Star game. Who really cares? There were a couple of other changes. They used the challenge system, the ABS challenge system, which I think it showed everybody who hasn't seen it before, because the only other times the challenge system has been used is AAA and spring training, where, to be honest, a lot of casual fans aren't watching those games and seeing the challenge system. But they got to see it on display last night. Tarek Skubal and Cal Raleigh in the first inning challenged a pitch that was clearly in the zone. It was not a good night for the home plate umpire. He got exposed by the challenge system a couple of times. But it was about 15 seconds of extra time where Skubal and Raleigh both tapped the top of their heads. We got to see the simulation on the video board and on the screen, and it showed it was a strike. They overturned it. It was a strikeout. They moved on. There is almost no doubt in my mind that that is going to be in regular season games starting next year.
Oh, yeah. And it should, because we've kind of seen it here locally with the sounds. They've been using it for a few years now, and it works.
Right.
I like how it works. It's quick. It's easy. It's effective. It doesn't take away the tradition of the game of baseball. It just corrects a little bit of the human aspects of it. It doesn't fully do anything. Like, we had the robo-umps for a while.
Right.
In the minor leagues, and they were awful, and we hated them. This is kind of a hybrid of it. And I think it works because it's revolutionizing a new era of baseball, and I think we kind of need to see it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I never want them to go full robo umps, because especially the catching position. Catchers, a lot of their value is framing and, you know, pulling balls back into the strike zone. And if you just go full ABS, that is completely eliminated from the game.
I mean, why do you have a catcher?
Right.
To just stop a pass ball?
Exactly. At that point, you're the catching position, the defensive aspects become a whole lot less important. I mean, obviously you still want to be able to throw runners out, but framing is such an important job that isn't really talked about, and it would just go away if you went to robo-ump. So the challenge system keeps that and also adds a little strategy to it, because you don't want a challenge. Let's say it's a 1-1 count and you get a pitch you don't like in the second inning. You don't want to challenge that because you don't want to risk it being wrong and not have one when it really matters down the stretch. So
right.
I think it's great. I think that's going to be the new normal starting next year. And I'm glad that the whole world got to see it on display, because us who have been, you know, we've worked Nashville Sounds games before, and we've heard Jeff Hem talk about it and seen it used, and he talks about how all the AAA people, they love the challenge system. They didn't like the straight up ABS. Now I think we're going to see it at the major league level coming up. I already ranted to you a little bit about this before the show. The in-game interviews with pitchers.
Yep.
I mean, I get it's the All-Star game again. It's a game that doesn't matter, but that's something that should never be done again.
It was stupid. I was watching it last night, and I was like, why do we have Tarek Skubal and Cal Raleigh mic'd up?
Well, and, like, Cal Raleigh doesn't seem to be a very talkative person.
Yeah. Which was funny.
Skubal has a lot of personality on the mound. Like, he'll yell and he'll stalk around the mound, but I don't think he wants to be having a conversation while he's pitching, even in the All-Star game. I thought it was cool with Kershaw.
Yeah.
I think you have to pick and choose your characters with that, because Skubal and Raleigh clearly were annoyed, especially after a couple of, BABIP balls get through and end up being base hits and Skubal's getting frustrated. I don't think he wanted to talk to Joe Davis and John Smoltz. The moment that was funny in the second inning was when Kershaw goes, Smoltzy, what do you want me to throw here? And John Smoltz goes, throw a cutter in. And
I don't have a cutter, you son of a gun.
Mid windup, he goes, I don't have a cutter. That was pretty good. I thought overall the All-Star game was fun last night.
I enjoyed it. It was fun.
The intros, I saw, I think it was Jared who was complaining about the ludicrous intros. And
that was ridiculous.
It dragged on a little bit too long, but
I just didn't appreciate we have some rapper ad-libbing in the background where starting for AL, Brent Rooker, and then you hear, yeah, in the back.
It was a little bit strange, but overall, I thought it was a well-done All-Star game. I thought the Hank Aaron tribute at the end of the sixth inning was fantastic.
That was beautiful.
It seemed like everybody in the stadium loved it. I think everybody watching on TV loved it. I think that was one of the cooler things they've done in a while.
Well, credit to the Atlanta fans, because literally any time a Philadelphia Philly or a New York Met was even mentioned,
they booed
the hell out of them. And I loved it.
Well, and it was funny because it was any Philly, any Met, but it was select Dodgers. Like, obviously they love Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
It felt like there was some love for Shohei Ohtani.
It was pretty split for him, it felt like.
Right. There were people who, it's like, oh, I don't like the Dodgers, but I like Shohei. But every other Dodger got booed. Dave Roberts got booed. Will Smith got booed.
And Yankees, too.
Yes. Yankees and Dodgers, they got booed a lot. But overall, I think it was a good All-Star game. Now we get to today and tomorrow, maybe the worst sports days in the calendar year.
With absolutely nothing on?
There is literally nothing going on, which I guess it's good SEC Media Days is going on right now. I was down there on Monday, and it is a cool environment down there with, you've got pretty much anybody involved in college football is all in one hotel.
Yeah.
And the College Football Hall of Fame. So that was really cool, and I guess it's a good week to have it. But man, the sports calendar right now, with no MLB baseball going on for the next 2 days, there's not a whole lot to do.
There is something for people like us to do.
Yes, there is.
We are coaching. But other than that, yeah, it's sad. We're in the dog days of the dog days
we
of
are,
summer.
Which, again, that is partially why I think we're on the air right now. Jared's got to charge up for football season, because a week from today is the first Titans training camp practice. I can't believe it's already here, but it is going to go from the dog days of summer with not a whole lot going on to football season.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really, really fast.
And we're very excited for that.
I am. I can't believe it. Training camp is a week away, and Jared will be back on Monday. I can imagine that he will be around a lot more often moving forward as we get into football
season.
So
he says. He also told Chase, I'm not going to take off July like I do every year, and here we are.
Here we are. Yes. Again, Jake and Connor in today, tomorrow, and Friday, Derek Mason will join us on the show as we reshuffle things a little bit. So Adam and Willie will still be on from 9 to noon, but D-Mace is going to come around a little bit later and be with us from 3 to 6 on Thursday and Friday. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Even though today is one of the most empty days of sports in the calendar, we've still got plenty to get to on the show. Later on, we will Look at some key takeaways from today's SEC Media Days, including Greg Sankey sitting down with Chase and Big Joe. We will talk a little bit about his thoughts on the 8-9 game SEC schedule. Also yesterday, two of the predominant coaches in the SEC said something about the way they recruit players that I rolled my eyes at. I'd love to get to that. And also Florida and Oklahoma were there today. I think those were two of the more intriguing teams in the SEC. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But first, we're going to get into some Titans here. There is a story that people have picked up, and it's been talked about, but it is a bigger deal than I think we're making it. And that is that 30 of the 32 second-round picks still have not signed their contracts. We already have holdouts starting, and right now Femi Oladejo is unsigned, the Titans' second-round pick, with training camp just a week away. We'll talk about that coming up next here on the program. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to chime in, we'd love to hear from you. You can text or call. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt in for Jared Stillman today here on Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. That was Jonathan Jones from CBS Sports talking about the holdup in signing second-round picks right now. 30 of the 32 second-round picks still do not have contracts as we move closer and closer to training camps. Some training camps have already opened up, including the Chargers and their second-round pick. The wide receiver Trey Harris out of Ole Miss is holding out right now. So there's a lot to sort out here. It is a waiting game to see who's going to blink. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt in for Jared Stillman today here on Stillman and Company. This is a really interesting story to me because for years, since the new CBA, the first round picks are all guaranteed contracts. That's really not an issue. But the second round picks, like Jonathan Jones was just saying, in the past they were almost completely guaranteed, but not 100%. That way, if a team makes a mistake in the second round, they have an out of sorts. Even if it's 96% guaranteed instead of 100%, you can get out of it in that fourth year and save a little bit of money. The issue, I don't think, is the $100,000, $200,000 that they'd be saving or whatever it is. It's the principle of, it's a slippery slope. If you guarantee all the second round picks, then eventually that's going to get down to the third. And where does it stop at that point?
Right.
So these GMs and these owners are trying not to blink first, but man, at some point it seems like somebody's going to have to blink. I just don't I don't know whether it's going to be the players who just start to take the 95% guaranteed contracts again and we go back to normal. Or is it going to be the GMs who blink and say, I need these players in my locker room for training camp? And you know what? If going 100% guaranteed is going to do it, then maybe they're the ones who finally give in this game of chicken we've got going on right now.
Maybe this is the traditionalist sports person in me. But if I am an incoming rookie coming to a big league like the NFL or the NBA or the NHL or the MLB or whatever league you want to put it at, I don't think you should have the right to negotiate your first contract.
Well, the slot numbers are set. So the amount of money they're getting isn't going to change.
Right.
It's just the guarantees. And I guess that is negotiable. And as Jonathan Jones just said, Nick Caserio basically said with the Texans basically was just like, I want to get my vacation started earlier. So whatever, Jaden Higgins, you can have a fully guaranteed deal. And the Browns.
Thanks, Texans.
Right. The Texans are the ones who have ruined this for everybody, which I'm fine with it. If eventually it leads to everybody getting these fully guaranteed deals, it's okay. But because the Texans did that, the Browns, who took Carson Schwessinger, one pick earlier out of UCLA.
It's pronounced Schwarzenegger.
I don't think it is. He's Arnold's long-lost son. They kind of had to because he was picked before. But now it's funny enough, it's the Titans pick that is holding all of this up. Obviously, they traded that pick to Seattle on draft night, but it is the Titans pick. If they hadn't traded it, it would have been them who is kind of the next domino to fall at 35. Right now, it's Seattle with Nick Imanwori because nobody below them is going to guarantee a contract without seeing that the Seahawks did it first.
Yeah.
So
it's who goes first.
It's the Seahawks are in this game of chicken right now, and I believe I saw on Twitter earlier today that Iman Wari is not in Seattle right now as they approach training camp, and neither is their other second-round pick, Elijah Arroyo, the tight end out of Miami. So they're waiting on those guaranteed deals. Something else that could throw a wrench in this is the whole Quinshon Judkins saga, because he's the next one after Iman Wari, and of course he has the
off-the-field issues.
He has the legal issues going on right now. So I think this is a bigger story than people are giving it credit for. I do understand that all it takes is one domino to fall and all of these deals are going to get signed in quick order, but is somebody going to blink before training camps open up? Because I think for the Titans, it's important to have Femi Oladejo in training camp. Every rep that he misses is going to hurt because he's such a raw prospect who needs to be molded as an edge rusher.
Right, but do you want to give him $20 million guaranteed?
Right. That's the question, is what's most important? And I just can't see the Titans skipping the line. Like, the Titans aren't going to say, you know what, we need Femi in here, we'll just guarantee it, because then every other player who was picked before Femi Oladejo is not coming to camp until they get a guaranteed contract.
Yep.
So,
bingo.
You kind of have to wait until your spot in line, comes up. But I really think that Femi Oladejo needs to be in camp. And I don't know how long this is going to take, but it is Iman Wari coming out of South Carolina and the Seattle Seahawks. It's on Seattle, and I think Mike Borgonzi is probably very glad he traded away that pick right now, because if not, all the pressure's on him to solve this issue. I can't imagine there's been a time in the past where you've had 30 out of 32 second-round picks left unsigned, and it's all because the Houston Texans just were like, whatever, we'll give him a fully guaranteed deal.
It sounds like such a Jim Irsay thing to do, right? Like, I could just see Jim, God rest his soul, rest in peace, saying, you know what, let's just give him everything he wants. But I don't know, it's just my level of concern as far as Femi Oladejo is slowly rising, because he's an important player. He's an important piece for the future. He's a very important project. They want to mold, like you said, they want to mold him into the next big Harold Landry, for example. So my level of concern is rising because he's important to the locker room, too. I don't want to see the Titans completely fold and say, you know what, Femi, we're going to give you $20 million guaranteed in your entry-level deal. But I also don't want them to try to lowball him as much as possible to where he's pissed off and doesn't want to come here.
Right. And I don't think any of this is about the specific money. It's just about the precedent. Like,
right.
If you give it's like the old book. If you give a mouse a cookie, like,
it's a good one.
It is. I read that a lot growing up.
My mom read it to me last night when she tucked me in.
Adam Vingan would think that would be true, actually.
Yeah, well, he thinks I'm like 12, despite the fact that I had a beer with him the other day.
He did text us to be on our best behavior for today's show. We have no supervision today. It's just you and me.
It's like Home Alone.
I know.
You're Kevin.
What could we get into? It can't be worse than last Monday. So
I don't think we got into that.
That wasn't our fault.
I think we were thrown into that.
Yes. it is like if you give a mouse a cookie. Like, these players, as the NIL era in college continues to grow, they're more empowered to negotiate for what they think they deserve at the pro level. Like what you said is, when you're making it to the big leagues, do you want to really like force as much out of these teams as possible? But that's kind of where we are now. Look at Shamar Stewart with the Bengals. I understand the Bengals are a cheap organization. They're trying to be cheap again. But Shamar Stewart, there's rumors like he might try and sue the NCAA to let him play for Texas A&M again this year, because he wants to negotiate what's in his contract and he can re-enter the draft next year. So I just don't know if the players are going to blink on this. I think all these deals might end up having to be guaranteed because the Texans did it. And Iman Wari, why should he take less than 100% guarantee when both the guys in front of him got 100% guarantees in the second round?
Yeah. I think my thing is I just don't want to see the NFL become the NBA as far as contracts. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
The NBA players in their contracts get everything they want and more.
Right.
No matter your level of play.
Look at Bradley Beal, yep. Who just got he just got waived and bought out. But he had one of two or three no-trade clauses in the NBA because the Wizards basically were like, well, he's our franchise player. We'll just give him anything he wants.
Yeah, and then he wanted out.
Yep.
And then look at the state the Wizards are in right now.
And the Suns.
And the Suns. I just don't want this to be such a players' league where everything is run by the players and salaries are dictated that way and rule changes and things like that. I don't think the NFL will get to that point. I think Roger Goodell has more of a hold on the league than Adam Silver has on his. But I also don't want to see, you know, second-round picks are making $40 million a year because a certain team didn't say no.
Right. And this is put basically every team in the league in a tough situation because for everybody but Seattle right now, it's a waiting game. I'm sure that the owners and the GMs aren't going to let somebody just skip the line and say, you know what, I'm gonna do the guarantees because then everybody has to do it. So it's on the Seahawks right now. It would be on the Titans if they hadn't traded that pick, but the Titans now have Femi Oladejo just waiting to sign that deal. And again, I think for both of us, our level of concern is growing ever so slightly by the day that he might miss some valuable training camp reps if this isn't sorted out in the next couple of days. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to chime in. We'd love to hear from you. Again, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. CeCe on our text line says, are you all aware that the Predators released their schedule today, or is that not cool enough to talk about? We are aware. It's
cool to talk about.
It's a little bit tough.
But, like, what do you want us to say? Like,
right. It's a little tough to get excited about, you know, a hockey schedule as much as it is for a football schedule. Because football, it's once a week. And it's like you can kind of look through. But
I mean, don't expect, like, a deep dive of the Predators versus the Columbus Blue Jackets
right.
on October 9th, 7 p.m. There you go. That's what
I
said about it.
There you go. That's the opener.
I mean, like, it's...
It's harder to do a deep dive because... especially
it's 3 months from now.
Right, and who knows what these teams are going to be.
Right.
And it's not like you can go game by game and make picks and stuff like that.
And hockey has gone to the cottage.
Right, it
is. Unless you are on DVD where that's all they talk about.
It is in the cottage, as Jared would say. But I did see a tweet from Alex Doherty saying that the Pred schedule opens up a little bit easier. So maybe a chance to do the opposite of last year and avoid a slow start. And maybe that kickstarts this team, unlike what happened in year one of the Stamkos, Marchessault, and Shea after all the moves in free agency. Obviously is the cool trip to Sweden, right? In November.
Sweden.
To face Pittsburgh and Stockholm. I saw that the Sunday game, is that an 8 a.m. puck drop? Nashville time?
Oh, no.
I think it is.
You know who's going to be behind that board. The one who's behind it right now.
Yeah, there's a pretty good chance. So,
good morning, everyone.
There's cool stuff with the Pred schedule. It's just it is hard to break down any schedule release other than football because it is so they're so long, and you just don't know a whole lot about what the teams are going to look like until they actually drop the puck. But yes, October the 9th, 7 p.m. against Columbus at Bridgestone Arena.
Yes,
is the opener.
You can hear that announcement again at about 30 minutes.
Perfect. During the Game Center update. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Borchetto Bourbon Music City Grand Prix is coming to the Nashville Super Speedway Labor Day weekend, and 1025 The Game has your chance to win VIP tickets to the IndyCar race. Text in the keyword race, R-A-C-E now to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a pair of VIP tickets. For more information on the event, visit MusicCityGP.com. We'll keep on looking at this second round pick holdup right now. 30 of the 32 second round picks in the NFL remain unsigned, including Titans edge rusher Femi Oladejo. What would it mean if he missed some time in training camp? We'll get to that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt in for Jared Stillman today. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jake Lyman and Connor Newt in for Jared Stillman today. Jared out the rest of the week. Derek Mason will join us Thursday and Friday from 3 to 6. Talking Titans here in this first hour. 30 of the 32 NFL second-round draft picks remain unsigned. The Texans paying Jaden Higgins a fully guaranteed contract. He was the 34th pick in the draft. The Browns at 33 kind of had to follow suit. Seattle at 35 is holding things up. And we got a good question on our text line here, Connor. Text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. B-Man asks, what do you think the Titans would do if they had stayed at 35 and they were the pivot point here with these guaranteed contracts? B-Man says, I think they would have folded and paid him. I don't know if they would have. I think there's such a hesitancy to set a precedent like that, because it does kind of hinge on the Seahawks now. If they do it, everybody else kind of has to follow.
Right. It's a copycat league.
Right. And if you... The Texans acted by themselves and did it. The Browns, because they had picked... Schwesinger, the linebacker out of UCLA, at 33, they kind of had to do it too. But if the Seahawks do it, I think it just becomes the precedent that second-round draft picks are going to get guaranteed contracts. And I don't know if the Titans want to be the one to set that precedent. But I don't know. I think the Titans are probably very happy that they did trade that pick, because it is kind of all on Seattle at this point.
Yeah, a lot less pressure for them.
Right. The Titans now just have to wait and see what the rest of the league does. And I know there's probably some impatience. They want to get Femi Oladejo signed and on the field, but there is a lot less stress on you if you're not the team that has to make that decision.
Right.
3337 on our text line says, is there a correlation between NIL and all these rookie holdouts? Because I don't really remember it being this serious. I would say so.
Yeah, I mean, they're coming in. These NIL deals are all mostly fully guaranteed.
Right.
So they're used to that.
And back in the day, not that some of these players weren't getting paid under the table. They all were, big ones. But the second-round picks, I think, were probably just happy to get that first NFL contract. And it was like, you know what, we'll make some concessions because we want to get this contract signed. Just so happy to be in the NFL. But now it's like... Some of these second-round picks, like, how much do you think Quinshon Judkins got paid to Ohio State last year?
Yeah, I mean, they're all from big-time programs in Division I football. I would argue most of them, if not right. all of them, have big-time NIL offers.
Probably getting high six figures, some seven-figure contracts. Like, they're probably like, no, I've already got money. I don't need to make concessions for you. I want my money fully guaranteed.
Some of that is why you see a lot of these guys that aren't going to be a first or second round pick. They just go back to college. Like, look at Carson Beck. Carson Beck was projected for a long time to be the number one overall pick, has a down year, then drops to maybe the third or fourth round.
Right.
He goes back, and he's making seven figures now at Miami.
He's getting, what, $4 million to play there?
Yeah, and that's just his base contract.
Right,
that
doesn't include any endorsements or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, he's not with the Cavenders anymore.
He's not, so he's not getting that TikTok money.
They had a big announcement today.
Did they? Are they doing WWE?
Something like that. I'll tell you the announcement off the air, because I'm not going to say it on the air.
Gotcha. I think I can make a guess. Carson Beck is a good example. Like, Trevor Maddich, midway through last season, said that he wouldn't draft him. Like,
really?
not even the seventh round. Yeah, Trevor, I remember explicitly listening to this, and it shocked me that Trevor said this. He goes, at the beginning of the year, Carson Beck would have been in the conversation to be the number one pick. I would not even draft him in the seventh round now.
Wow.
Because he said he just couldn't play under pressure. So that's a good example of, hey, I can't make money at the NFL level, but I can make $4 or $5 million just going to play at Miami.
He's a good example, but in my opinion, I think he'll end up being a much better college player than he is
right.
an NFL player.
Well, look at Quinn Ewers. That's an example, too.
Yeah.
Like, Quinn Ewers, he made a lot of money. Probably should have tried to go back for another year in college instead of being a seventh-round pick. But I'm wondering if, and we had the MLB draft earlier this week, too. I'm wondering if somebody sues the NCAA and tries to get the NFL to look more like the MLB. I don't know how it would all work. And because right now it seems like if you want anything done, just sue the NCAA and it's going to work out for you. But
I don't think they'll ever get to that point, though.
I'm just wondering if it becomes a thing like with Shamar Stewart at Texas A&M. Like, hey, yeah, they drafted me 17, but I'm not happy with my signing bonus. I'm not happy with whatever the contract says. I'm going to go back to school because I still have eligibility.
They would have to work out so much with NIL. Like, you have vastly more NIL opportunities in football than you have in baseball.
It's a mess right now, but I think 3337 on our text line, like, I think there is 100% a correlation with NIL and rookies coming into the NFL and holding out because they're more empowered, which is a good thing in a lot of ways, but also does lead to a lot of these questions of like, is it going to become the new thing where if somebody does sue the NCAA for eligibility, that maybe if you get drafted into the NFL, that doesn't guarantee that you actually go play for that team?
It's interesting to think about because you have to think, like, will there be a new rule set where a player cannot make more in college than they were in NFL? I don't know. It's a lot to think about.
There's so much up in the air in the world of college sports, and I think it is slowly leaking over into professional sports as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have thoughts on this, again, 30 of the 32 second round picks in the NFL remain unsigned. We might drop back into this a little bit later, but it is almost the end of our first hour. And anytime Connor Newt is on these airwaves, that means he takes over the station for a
second. This is a throwback.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
This is can't speak. This is back to my first days here where I was always back behind this glass talking.
When was the last time that you played your own intro music for Newt's Notes?
Oh, had to be
over a year.
Year and a half ago.
Yeah. So we'll get to that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, we're in for Jared Stillman today here on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Wow, is that a new intro for you?
Who? That's the badass Braun Breaker right there.
I love it. Connor Newt playing his own intro music for the first time in at least a year, and he mixes it up for us. We got all the L.A. Newt ones last week.
This was super, super impromptu. Like, I didn't record any of this.
I love it.
It's all on YouTube.
Well done.
It's craftsmanship at its finest, kids.
It is the end of hour number one here on the program, which means it's time for Newt's Notes. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt. Connor, take it away.
All right, so in the spirit of you and I being here, and we always talk about EA Sports, let's do it again today. But not the football side of things. They're doing a basketball game in 2028. So, did you see this news?
The 2K stuff?
Yeah. So, basically what happened was EA goes to the NCAA, pitches this basketball game. You know, it's going to be great. We've had a lot of fun with our football. We've done a great job. It's selling well. We think we can carry that success over to basketball. And then they pitch everything they want to put into it. EA says, great, you're greenlit. Go ahead. 2K, who creates the NBA games, which are pretty much the same game every single year. You could argue that for pretty much all sports games. But this one especially, they go in and say, well, we're not really feeling making a whole new IP. We're going to make a $15 DLC that you can buy, and it'll give you 16 teams. And the NCAA is like, you don't want to put all 300 and whatever in there? No, it's not really our style. We don't want to take away from the NBA sales and how well that sport does. The NCAA says, all right, piss off. So my complaint is, what the hell were they thinking?
Yeah, I didn't really get that when I saw it, because the whole point of and it was only going to be 16 teams, right, that you could play from?
They were going to do 16 in year one, expand to 32 if 16 did well.
But, like, isn't
the
whole
68.
The whole reason people want this game is for March Madness. Like, that's
right.
The whole reason is to play out the NCAA basketball tournament. You can't do that with only 16 teams.
I mean, we didn't ask for Sweet 16 2K27.
Right, yeah.
They said, well, if that does well, we'll assess making a individual game in 2030. And we're like, well, wait a minute. EA's going to put theirs out in 2028. They are 2 years ahead of you.
Yeah. I don't know if basketball needs to be a yearly release.
No.
Because it isn't. The reason it shut down last time wasn't because of the NIL stuff. It wasn't because they got sued. It was because
it didn't sell
people
well.
Didn't buy it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's a yearly release, but if you released one game and then you can kind of reassess whether you want to release another one, that's fine. But you do need to release it with all the teams in there. And to be fair, it sounds like a lot because there's, what, 320,
yeah,
315?
Yeah.
But that's less players than the 130 FBS teams that they're putting in the football
game. It's not impossible because FIFA does 300 and something
right,
teams
yeah,
every year.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I think EA will do a decent job with it. I don't know if it's going to be the greatest game ever, but it doesn't
It'll
really,
be serviceable.
It doesn't have to be because it's been 15 years. It'll be close to 20 years since the last game.
It will be exactly 20 when it comes out.
Really?
Wait.
Didn't 10 come? Was Blake Griffin on back-to-back covers of that?
Yes. No. NCAA Basketball 10 came out in 2009.
Okay, so it'll be 19
years. So it'll be 19
years.
Yeah.
So you just need to put something out. And honestly, people will buy it. And if it's not good and people don't like it, then they probably won't make another one. But if they, you know, if...
But people will buy it.
I think people will buy it just out of pure nostalgia.
Yeah. You know, it's different than the football because football, everyone wanted it. A, because it's a college football game. Everyone loves it. B, it's football. It's going to sell regardless. That's why they're going to do yearly releases because they know people are going to buy it.
Yeah.
Suckers like us are going to
buy it every year.
Fork over our money. I was going to buy it this year anyway, but I've talked to people like Robbie Stanley. He's like, yeah, I don't really have any interest in it. But
college basketball is, it's funny because March Madness is probably the second biggest sporting event in American sports, but it doesn't have, the regular season for college basketball doesn't have as much of a public following as a lot of other sports.
Right. Like the diehard people like me and you watch
right.
every game.
We follow basketball from when it starts in November and till they cut the nets down in late March, early April.
But there are people that start...
They start when the bracket gets announced.
Yeah.
Like, that is probably why...
Jared is one of those
the
people.
The sales weren't... Right. Is because there are a lot of sports fans who just don't really get into college basketball until they can fill out their bracket and they have somebody to root for in every game. And you know, March Madness just has... It just has this aura, for lack of a better word, around
nice.
It. Of people just love watching March Madness, even if they don't care about college basketball. So that's what you kind of have to get through with this game is, can you make it fun enough that even people who don't follow college basketball closely want to buy it?
But I think some of it is people are so sick of the NBA. Like, we've talked about this plenty of times. If you're not in a big market like a Boston or a LA or somewhere like that, chances are you probably don't really care about the NBA as much. So
yeah, that's a good point.
That's kind of where I defect to is I'm a hoops guy. I love basketball, but I could give two you-know-whats about the NBA. I'm college till I die, so
right.
I'm different than a lot of people.
You got,
but
you
that's
gotta,
just me.
You got to find the market segment that is going to – because there will be so many diehards that want to do it and want to get the game, but you've got to get the casual fans involved.
Yeah.
So,
and that's, I think they did a good job of the football one.
Right. I agree. So we'll see. 2028. Thankfully, 2K's idea was shot down because that
so
would not
close.
Have that would not have been great. I know. Three more years.
Only three.
4405 says the FIFA 26 trailer dropped today. I've never been a FIFA, like, I've played it with friends.
I'm not a big soccer guy.
Yeah, me neither. But playing with friends, that game is kind of fun. I don't know if I would play it on my own, but you know.
Wow, there's a whole essay.
Yeah, well, I'll read this one during the break and see if we want to get to it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to chime in, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Good stuff on Newt's notes there. We're an hour in. 2 hours to go today. Again, Jared is out the rest of the week. Jake Lyman and Connor Newt with you. The rest of the week, starting tomorrow, Derek Mason will be with us. So that'll be fun. We'll have D-Mace on. Get to talk Good Mountain Titans. and SEC Media Days as day three of four still rolling along at the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta. We will get into the Southeastern Conference next. Greg Sankey, SEC Commissioner, sat down with Chasen Big Joe earlier today. He made a comment about the 8 or 9 game SEC schedule. I want to talk about that a little bit. We'll also look at some comments from Georgia and Texas yesterday and much more as we get into hour number two here on the program. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, in for Jared Stillman today here on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.